that you can spend time with your children. I hope that today is a blessed day for you. For those of you whose mothers have already crossed over, just remember the happy times. Do not grieve as though, you know, you were perishing, because those that have passed on, if they were in Christ, they went to a place of joy and peace and glory. We want to continue to remember a friend of mine, Brother Billy Parker, in prayer. I remember that he just needs a very special touch from the Lord. Remember Keith Lee and Kim Ball, Crystal Felty, and all that whole Parker family as they're going through a time of testing and trial right now, that God will show himself strong and gracious in that time. Remember all the pastors, Sean and Michelle Brooks, Zach Sizemore, of course, Billy Parker, Isaac Walker, Shane Calhoun, Bishop Lee in Las Vegas, Billy Raines in East Phoenix, Pastor Greg at South Mountain, that all of them today will speak with the authority that God has given them. And I know that if you're here, if you're listening to this podcast today, that you're joining us, and I'm so thankful for that. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. If you have any prayer requests, always feel free to send them to me at pastorstansbury@gmail.com, and I will pray over them every morning, that I do promise you. Father God, we thank you for the love, the mercy, the grace, and the glory that you've given each of us. And I pray, God, that today as we break into the bread of life, that you will touch everybody's heart, mind, and soul, that you will feed them and strengthen them and help them, God, to become all that you've asked them to be. I pray for Billy Parker, God, that whole family, that your healing virtue will just flow, that you will touch and minister and strengthen, uplift, give them peace and joy, knowing that you're in full control, that you've got everything under control. I pray, Lord, for all the pastors that are preaching this morning, that they'll cross the picket lines and cross what the world says and begin to preach the gospel as it was meant to be, the gospel of the kingdom of heaven, that so that once it's preached, that we know that your time of coming is soon at hand. We pray for this nation that is now bitterly divided, Lord, that your peace, that cooler heads will prevail. But that at the end of the day, Lord, your will be done. And we're going to be careful, God, to give you the praise and the glory and the honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'm going to sing an old Walt Mills song today called "I Was There When It Happened." There, you want to clap. There are some people who say you cannot tell whether we are saved or whether all is well. They say you only can hope and trust that it is so. But I was there when it happened, and I guess I ought to know. Yes, I know when Jesus saved me, the very moment he forgave me, he took away my heavy burdens, oh, and he gave me peace within. Satan, can I make me doubt it? It's real and I'm gonna shout it, 'cause I was there when it happened, and I guess I ought to know. I don't care who tells me salvation is not real. Though the world may argue that you cannot bear the heavy burden lifted, the vile sin go. But I was there when it happened, and I guess I ought to know. Yes, I know when Jesus saved me, the very moment he forgave me, he took away my heavy burden, and he gave me peace with it. Satan, cannot make me doubt it? It's real and I'm gonna shout it, 'cause I was there when it happened, and I guess I ought to know. 'Cause I was there when it happened, and I guess I ought to know. The very moment he forgave me, he gave me peace with it. Satan, cannot make me doubt it? Well, it's real and I'll shout it. I was there when it happened, and I guess I ought to know. Made a little flub there at the end, but, you know, it happens. We're human. I was looking at my words for the, on my phone for the words. I'm having problems here lately. I think it's stress. I got a little stress in my life, and sometimes I just forget words, and I kind of always lean on that. But I want to go to Ephesians chapter number 6, the call to war. Now, when we talk about spiritual warfare, I want to be a little different this time. We walk around as if the warfare that we are in is fought on equal footing. But I want to show you today, I want to teach you today, that you're already a winner. It's a fixed fight, but the fallen realm has tricked many believers into believing they're stronger than they are. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Finally, become strong in the Lord and in His might, in the might of His strength. Put on the full armor of God so that you may be able to stand against the schemes, the stratagems, and the methods of the devil. Because the struggle, the wrestling conflict, one-on-one battle for us is not against blood and flesh, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the world powers, world forces, world rulers of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of evilness in the heavenly places. For this reason, take up the full armor of God, in order that you may be able to resist, oppose, withstand on the evil day. And having worked everything to stand, stand. First of all, you've got to understand that we already have our marching orders. We are told to occupy. Jesus says, occupy until I come. We are told to be strong. The church today is at its weakest as a whole as ever before. We don't pray. We don't read. We don't worship. Everything now is about entertainment, the smoke machines, the large screens, the tight skinny jeans. And we no longer dress up in the presence of God. And we've got the word of faith and the word of confession and people trying to find easy answers to the problems of this world when Jesus has already provided. He says, what I need you to do as a believer is to be strong. Now, what that means to you and I is that we settle in. We get ready. It's like those Rocky movies. At the end of one of the Rocky movies, he's saying, come on, hit me, because he's not going down. To be strong in the might of the Lord says, first of all, in his mind, that I have an inherent force or power backing me up, and that force is the exercise of might. When you realize that Jesus Christ wants you to walk in victory, not because of anything that you've done, but because you put him on. My wife and I, we watch this crazy TV show, and probably some of you are going to be really judgy over it. But in this show, angels and demons get into humans and take over the humans to do whatever they all want to do. And as I was watching that the other day, the thought came to me, what would happen in the church if we simply allowed the Holy Spirit to put Christ on us, not just in our heart, but we put on Christ? How would that change? You see, when you look in the Bible, when Jesus cast out devils, it didn't take him a rigmarole. He had to work himself up into a Pentecostal fervor. He simply said, get out. When you say, well, that was Jesus, but Dr. Stansberry. Okay, fine. Okay, all right. But the Apostle Paul, when the little girl with the spirit of Python was going behind him, saying, these are the men of the servants of the Most High God. Listen to what they're saying. He didn't go through a rigmarole. He just said, come out. When you and I begin to realize that what God is calling us to is to walk in the might of His Spirit that He's already provided. He says, be strong in the might of the Lord. Become strong. How do you become strong? Part of your diet. If you're wanting to go strong, you don't eat junk food. You eat high protein things. In the spiritual realm, if you want to become powerful, if you want to become strong, it takes prayer, fasting, and being in the Word of God. There's no other way. There's no other way to become strong in the Lord if you neglect His Word, if you neglect prayer, and if never now and again you don't fast something and say, Lord, I need to hear Your voice very clearly. Bill Hybels wrote a book called The Strength of a Whisper, that sometimes God's not shouting at you. He's whispering. But with all the noise and the cacophony of voices that play out of our heads and minds and bodies, we sometimes miss the very whispers of God. He says, be strong. Be mighty. Be powerful in me. So how do we put on the armor? Church, you got to change your clothes. Romans chapter 13, verse 14. And this really, it came to me yesterday. It was really weird. My wife and I were out running some errands, and I keep hearing the thing, put on Christ, put on Christ, put on Christ, put on Christ. And so I had to get home and look it up. In Romans chapter 13, verse 14, Paul says, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ. And make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desire. Put on Christ. Now, hang on. Stay with me. Some of you are already going, let's just change this channel. We say, I want Jesus in my heart. Jesus is in my heart. Jesus is in my heart. Okay, so he's in the seat of your emotions. But some of us keep him there, and we do everything else we want to do. But how would your life change if Jesus didn't just sit in your heart, but you put him on? That when people see you, they don't see you, but they see Jesus. That when you walk into a room, demons know you've shown up in the room because the Spirit of the living God has walked in with you. How would it change in your family when conflicts begin to arise, when the enemy comes in and does his thing? If you are walking with Jesus and you put on Christ and he speaks peace to the situation. We preach about putting on the armor of God, and next week that's what we'll get into. And people say, well, I can't remember all the parts. And here, let me help you out. Put on Jesus. Jesus is love. He is truth. He is light. He is power. You see, the problem with many of us, we want our list and we want our formulas. You know, I was telling a friend of mine that there are certain religions that use the book of Psalms as their spell book. Voodoo, hoodoo, and Santeria being the three I'm thinking of. You've got people that, well, they read their daily devotional like they're looking at their horoscope. Well, let me see what kind of day I'm going to have. Today says, oh, no, I should stay home. Rather than, I'm going to have a relationship with Jesus. When he talks to me, I'm listening. When he speaks to my heart, I've got it. When I walk into a room and there's a need, I know how to meet it because Jesus says, the things that I do, I see my Father do. I speak of my Father. He said, when you got filled with the Holy Spirit, it would speak those things of Christ. What is interesting here, that when Paul uses the word armor, this particular Greek word is used only one other time. It is used in Luke chapter 11, verses 21 through 22, when Jesus talks about stripping the strong man of his power. In the same way, Christ is going to strip the fallen realm, or has stripped them of their power. But yet, like a roaring lion, like a monster, they show up thinking, you don't know what to do. You don't know how to deal with me. You don't know how to deal with the spirit of this or that or the other thing. My friend, can I tell you, you've got everything you need in God's word, in a relationship with him, that you can walk in absolute, total victory. Yet, we've allowed preachers and other men to make it seem like the fallen realm is all of that and a slice of bread. They're already defeated. But many of us don't walk in the authority, because to walk in the authority, as Adrian Rogers wrote in his book, Kingdom Authority, we have to submit. The reason you will go overseas and find great miracles taking place is they have submitted to Christ, not just made a commitment. When I wrote my doctoral thesis, one of the things I talked about was submission. The church today no longer preaches submission. When Paul says, wives, submit yourself to your husbands. Oh, no, we don't do that. Well, hey, he might be my boss. When we talked about it a few weeks back, that's not what submission means. Submission means I know you've got my best interest at heart. I can trust you completely. You love me. You've got everything. And I will just simply let you be who you are. If you submit yourself to Christ, you say, you know what, I trust you, that you have a plan, that you have the power, that you have the might, because you're going to sit on the throne, and you're going to take care of me. So no matter what I go through, good, bad, or indifferent, even when I'm going through a storm, he can stand up and say, peace be still, because those are my children, and you're safe from harm. Waves cease rolling and the wind stop blowing. That's my child in the midst of the tide. Be not afraid of the crossing billows. Meet me over on the other side. We got to understand that he's trying to tell you and I to stop focusing on the storm and focus on the master of the sea. Christ has already defeated the fallen realm. Walk in it. So he says in the next part to stand up. You understand there's a reality to the word stand. When Paul talks about spiritual warfare, he's not saying you get to, it's not a volunteer army, if you will. Once you become a believer and you've joined the kingdom of heaven, you become a soldier for the kingdom of heaven. Because Satan now sees you as public enemy number one. So many of us, We look at the devil and we think, well, if I just don't do anything, it's like a joke I heard one time. They're in this church service, and somebody jumps through the window in a devil costume, and everybody runs and hides. This little woman can't move. She says, I'm not scared because I've been working for you the whole time. Many people believe that Satan is that strong. But to stand, you need to understand that, first of all, it means you're going to face attacks. You know why? You don't fit here. When you read the Old and New Testament, God's people generally went through some type of persecution. It's coming. Church, if you don't believe it's coming, you need to look at the newspapers, look at the times. Read the signs of the times. The sons of Issachar, who could read the signs of the times, they knew what was going on. You and I must, we must get out of the idea that, you know, this is a Christian, Judeo-Christian nation, and the church is going to be okay. COVID-19, if it proved anything, the first thing that was shut down, the first thing that was under continual attack, was the gathering of the people of God. Why? Because there's something about when two or three gather in His name, and we begin to sing the praises to the Most High, and we begin to shout the shouts of victory, and we begin to declare with one voice, Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. The fallen realm begins to shake and tremble. Why? Because they know at the mention of that name, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess, Jesus Christ is Lord. I will be attacked, but I will not be afraid. For they who are with us are more than they that are with them. 2 Kings. I will not droop or slouch. I will not live in self-pity. Growing up, my dad made me watch Hee-Haw. And there was a part of Hee-Haw where this little group of guys with their moonshine would sing Gloom, Despair, Agony on Me. Deep, dark depression, excessive misery. If it weren't for bad luck, I'd have no luck at all. Gloom, despair, and agony on me. And they would begin to talk about how bad things were. Like, whoa! Many people in the church, when it happens, we go into self-pity. Even Elijah, after he was stood and had the great victory against the prophets of Baal, he got to a point, I should just die and lie with my fathers, because Jezebel said, I'm going to kill him. This day he will die. He forgot in whom he served. He had just stood up and called fire down from heaven. He had just saw the hand of God move and do something incredible. Yet now, because Jezebel said, I'll kill him, he runs and he hides and he says, I'm now terrified. It would be better that I die. When you're going through a struggle, when you're going through a trial, that is not the time to go, well, I just look up and say, like Job, even if he slay me, yet I will serve him, because I know my Redeemer lives. You've got to get to the point, you settle this in your heart, whether I live or I die, Christ will be glorified. Because if I die, my last breath here is my first step there. To be absent from the body is to be present from the Lord. But if he tarries, I will work. I'm going to keep working and singing and praying and preaching and teaching and leading people to Christ, because beautiful are the feet of those who bring the good news. I will have no self-pity. I am at my position, and I am alert. Be sober, be vigilant, for your enemy, the devil, goes about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He's looking for people to sleep at the post. If God has posted you in a worship team, you need to worship. Don't get complacent. If you're working and you're helping in Sunday school, teach those babies. Let them know that Jesus Christ is their answer. If you're teaching in the public school and that's where God has put you, you be the light. You don't have to preach to everybody, but put on Jesus. Walk in that building and let every evil spirit know that there is a light here. I may not be able to say it very openly or vocally, but the children will see something in my life that will tell them there is a better way, and they'll come to me. When a guard is at their position, they're always alert. They're looking. The enemy likes nothing better than to slip in unaware. And because of these new devices that we have that bring the internet and everything into our home, you know, used to be if you wanted to do anything perverse, you had to sneak around, but now you can bring it into the comfort of your own home. Why? Because the enemy has made it such, the ruler of the powers of the air, the principalities. If you've read the book of Daniel, you know that every country, every area has its own spirit. And as you travel this great country, all 50 states, you will come into certain places that have certain spirit or certain entities that seem like it dominates. If you go to Las Vegas, you'll find that a lot of it is about the sex, the sensuality, the gambling, the perversion. You know, what they say, what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. Yeah, but the diseases you can bring back, they don't. You go to New York, you see a lot of greed. L.A., it's all about entertainment and the falsivity of movies and television. The problem is the church has stopped being at her post. And we've allowed the enemy to come into church. We've allowed Satan can now sit on your church pew and he doesn't feel at all uncomfortable. Why? Because we've stopped preaching redemption. We've stopped preaching salvation. We've stopped preaching about repentance. Thirdly, to mean to stand, I will never retreat. I may be taking a beating, but I'm going to dig my heels in and say, let's go. Let's fight this thing to the very end. The third thing I need you to realize about spiritual warfare, it's just going to be a fact. It is not against people. Don't look at your wife, your ex-wife, your boss, and go, I'm fine, that's the devil. Now, the devil, does he use people? Absolutely. So be gracious with the person, but forceful with the spirit. These are not, we're not fighting each other. We are fighting against the fallen realm, powers, principalities, powers of the air. And they have an agenda. They have an agenda to destroy everything that you hold dear and near to your heart. The family was attacked. The church stood by and said, not a whole lot. From 73, we had the attack there. We had the attack with the other Supreme Court rulings. And now this country is more divided than ever, especially in the church. And now we see that the leak with the Roe v. Wade piece, and now suddenly churches are divided because they all see things in a different way. You've got to see it, everything from the Word of God. It has nothing to do. When you become part of the kingdom of God, when you have a king, your opinion no longer matters because the king has ruled by edict. So there's some things I want you to understand about the fallen realm. First of all, their power is limited. Look at Ephesians 1. We talked about this in the very few weeks back. And that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, above every name that is named, not only in this age, but in the ages to come. Now, what do you mean by every name that is named? Those are the fallen realm gods. Whether it's Saturn, whether it's Inanna, whether whatever false god, false news group is coming out there saying they're a god, he says he's above all of them. The fallen realm's power is very limited because Christ's power is absolute. Now, I'm going to tell all of you something right now that's going to blow some of your mind. Satan, the fallen realm, is in no way equal, no way equal to Christ. Colossians 2 and verse 10, and you have been filled in him who is ahead of all rule and all authority. What does that mean exactly? It means that Christ is over it all. The enemy has no power except what we allow him to have in our lives. You understand that? The enemy can only do as much to you as you are willing to allow him to do. It becomes up to you to draw the line and say, in the name of Jesus Christ, whom I serve and to whom I belong, we're done with this. Christ sits over the heavenly realm, Ephesians 3, 10 and 11, so through the church now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. Can I stop there for a minute and say, do you understand? The church is supposed to be teaching the fallen realm that Christ is on the throne. Do you not know you'll judge angels? Understanding this, that at the end of the day, we're showing the fallen realm what it means to live in the presence of God, because they forfeited that. They forfeited that when they rebelled against the Father. And then we have the opportunity to join back with the Heavenly Father, join into that household through Jesus Christ, our brother, through the Spirit of adoption. And we show the fallen realm, look what you're missing. You know, like the song, I don't care who tells me salvation is not real, that the world may argue that you cannot feel. You can feel it. You know it. When that burden comes off of you, you know it. Now, you may not see, you know, I've seen people be instantly delivered from things, and some it takes a process, but as they hang on to Christ, it happens. Verse number 11. This was according to the eternal purpose that he has realized in Christ Jesus our Lord. Notice what he's saying. This was the purpose, the very idea that was supposed to happen. Now I'm going to tell y'all something. Ready? Pull in. Come closer. At the end of the day, the fallen realm's power is limited. It has an end date. The book of Revelation talks about when Satan and all of his little buddies and those that have followed the false beast and the false prophet were cast into the lake of fire. They have an end date. A little angel, not an archangel, but a small angel will take Satan, put him in chains, and into the bottomless pit. 1 Corinthians 15:24, then comes to the end when he delivers the kingdom to God the Father after destroying every rule and every authority and every power. Do you see what he's saying there? Every rule, every power, every authority. Daniel chapter 9 talks about he saw the seats, and one is the Ancient of Days, and he has a kingdom. It's the Son of Man. Some really good books on that by Samuel Whitfield. If you ever get the chance to get them, The Son of Man, and it is finished. Fantastic books, very scholarly, very deep. You'll get into some deep things about why Jesus is the Son of Man and why that's an important doctrine. You do understand that Jesus was not crucified for saying he was the Messiah. They could overlook that because a lot of crackpots had popped up. It's when he said, you'll see the Son of Man. Oh, he's blasphemy. We've got to take him out. When Jesus comes back and steps on the Mount of Olives and establishes his reign, all of the principalities and the powers and all the things that we've ever dealt with will be reined in, locked away, and out of our sight forever. Why? Because the fallen realm gave up the right to be called the sons of God. Christ stripped them of their power. Colossians chapter 2, verse 15. He disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them in him. So let me help you out here, church. It's not about us. It's not our power. But Romans says we can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. How do we do that? Through Christ, we put Christ on. If you're facing storms in your life, quit trying to figure out your strategy. Quit trying to figure out the self-help books. Quit looking for everybody else to solve your problem. Go to the cross. You got loved ones who are lost and dying. Take them to the throne room. Put their name and leave them there. Something that we don't do anymore. We don't pray through. I remember growing up, you prayed through. You prayed until you knew that you'd rang the prayer bells of heaven. Now we have a sweet hour of prayer or just a little talk with Jesus. We run it so short, so quick, that we're forgetting that the important thing, the most important thing is the most important thing. It's Jesus Christ and him crucified, resurrected from the dead. That is the message. And we preach that to the fallen realm. You thought you had him. See, get this. If they thought they had him, and he stripped them of their power, made an open show of them to all of the other fallen realm, but then he tells John in Revelation chapter 1, I am he that liveth and was dead, but behold, I live forevermore, and I have the keys of death and of hell. He's trying to remind and tell you and tell me, I've won. I am that I am. Today, if you are walking and you're fighting and you're battling and you're just like, I don't know what to do, Dr. Stansberry. It seems like everything that can go wrong is going wrong. Then I'm telling you what, maybe somebody moved. Draw close to him. Yeah, you're going to be attacked. The enemy is going to come at you. Remember what you were, what you did, how you failed him. Yes, but let me tell you, Legacy 5 has a song, What Kind of Man? You know, Barabbas was set free, and he had no idea why that a man who had done nothing would stand in his place. Thomas, who had all these doubts, could not really figure out why. Jesus would say, handle me. And Peter, who he loved Jesus, but he denied him 3 times, could not understand why he'd say, lovest thou me, then take care of what needs to be taken care of. I don't care where you've been. Some of us have been a Barabbas. Some of us have been a Thomas. Some of us have been a Peter. Some of us may be like the woman that came before Christ and she broke the alabaster box. And the Pharisees said, can't you see this woman's a sinner? But Jesus said something very interesting. We miss it. Wherever the gospel is preached, this story will be told. Why? Because it was a story of love on both ends. She expressed nothing. She didn't come to Jesus and say, I need you to heal me of this or that. But she came weeping and she came before him, presenting only her worship and her heart. And he covers her with love. I don't care how far you've gone. If you can still hear the call of the Holy Spirit, make today your day. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Father God, for those who are hearing this podcast today, perhaps they've never made you their Lord and Savior. Let the Holy Spirit speak to them today. Guide them through the road of repentance to admit that they're a sinner, to admit that they need you, to repent and say that Jesus Christ is Lord and He is Lord over my life. And that I turn my way away from the wicked one and come into the kingdom of light. And for what I know you're doing, Father, for who you are and what you're doing, not only in their lives, but through their lives, and in my life and through my life. Let your name be glorified. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you for joining me today. I hope that this has been a blessing. I hope that you like and subscribe to our YouTube channel. I always try to put that link, and you can subscribe if you have any questions, PastorStansbury@gmail.com. Also, you can find my podcast, Walking in the Word, Walking with the Word, on all of your podcasting platforms, and be looking very, very soon. I am investigating how to create my own app where I can put all of my content in one place, so be praying about that. So until next week, this is Dr. Eric Stansbury from Phoenix, Arizona, saying thank you for coming. Please be praying for our ministry. We're getting ready to make a move here in the month of July. That's going to make a lot of that will be coming out in the next few months. So until next week, this is Dr. Eric Stansbury saying grace and peace be multiplied to you and your family. Happy Mother's Day again, and have a blessed week. We'll see you next week.